Somebody's throwing a party. Guess what? I'm throwing another party, y'all. And this one is happening on Halloween. So you bring your costumes, you bring your kids, you bring your joy, and we are going to meet at Sugar Mouse in NYC. That's on the Lower East Side from 4 to 6 p.m. on Saturday, October 25th. That is the Saturday before Halloween. And it's also after your children's nap time, so everyone can come. There will be games. There might be a little costume party catwalk. There are drinks for the adults, of course. And I will be there with my family, so I hope you all show up. The info's in the show notes, and click the link to RSVP, and I'll see you there. Let's go. Let's have a little fun. We deserve it. We really do. This episode and the entire year of episodes is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code QueerFam25 for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Go do that now.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Because these are a privilege. These are not a right. These screens are not a right. You do not have to buy your kids iPads, phones. You don't have to do it, okay? It's a privilege. And with privilege comes responsibility. Mm-hmm. And responsibility isn't, well, you clean up your room and you can have some more screen time. Responsibility is you've got to be willing to have conversations about limits. You have to be willing to follow the rules. And I'm a positive discipline person. And we are all about collaboration. We are not about punishment or rewards. We're about, you know, natural consequences that connect with whatever the mistake was. But with this, just like with drugs and alcohol, like you've got to have hard rules. And there are places that are not up for negotiation, collaboration.
Welcome, y'all, to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. I'm Jamie. I'm your gay host. And this is the show that highlights, celebrates, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA+ families in all of our fabulous identities. And this episode's a good one. It's actually what I like to call an ally episode. I spoke with Casey O'Rourke. Casey also happens to be the host of another podcast called Joyful Courage, which is a great show. You should check it out. But Casey happens to be one of the non-queers of the world. But don't worry, don't you fret, because I say this all the time. Every once in a while, I let a non-queer on the show if they are fully aligned with my show and that if I think that they offer some stuff that maybe my listeners might really jive with and like. And I think y'all are going to like Casey. I like Casey a lot. And Casey happens to be an expert on like technology and basically screens when it comes to kids. And if you live in this world and you are a parent or you're thinking of parenting, this whole screen time debate and what you should allow your kids to do on the screens, all the things that go with screens, is something you're going to waste so many hours thinking and worrying about. And Casey comes in with some really wonderful advice and knowledge. I learned so much just from sitting down and talking with Casey, and I learned so many things to implement. And I'm happy to say that I've implemented like at least one of them one time so far since I talked to her. And now that I'm re-listening to our talk, I'm going to implement more and I'm going to remember to do it better. But one of my biggest takeaways with Casey was this idea, and it really goes along with something we talk about all the time on this show when it comes to transparency with our children and talking to them about their origin stories. Same thing goes for the screens. It's all about transparency in screens and making sure you are having open and honest conversations with your kids surrounding screen safety and screen usage in general to make sure that your kids have critical thinking skills and have a healthy relationship to the screens. Because the truth is, screens are just a part of life now, and we have to navigate it. And we need to teach our children to navigate them in a smart way as well. It's a really great conversation. You're all going to love it. And I think you're all going to take something away from it. And I've been trying to talk to like the people in my parenting sphere more and more. You'll hear it in the episode. We talk about how you should talk to all the parents that you're surrounded with, that your kids are friends with, and make sure y'all are on the same page, or at least try to get on the same page surrounding screens. Because as these kids get older, it gets harder and harder to hold to the principles that you hold dear in your family when it comes to, you know, what we allow and what we don't allow when it comes to phones and screens and iPads and all the things and the TVs. But if you can get the parents around you to fall in line and be like a united front, it makes it much easier. And I've been trying so hard to like talk to the parents around me about screens. And it really is hard. And this goes back to my episode with Jesse Callens that I had, where Jesse was talking about how we need to come back to like a communal parenting where we all kind of rely on each other and we talk to each other about our fears and our misgivings, but we aren't in that kind of a parenting sphere. We've gotten so individualistic. And so when I bring up screens, I do feel a lot of parents shying away and like feeling judged, because I think we all feel slightly judged when it comes to this whole device conversation and how much we give them and how much we should give them. It's a really hard topic to bring up, but I'm making a promise to all you, and you're going to hear in the episode why. I'm making a promise to all of you. I'm going to do better at talking to the parents around me about my priorities when it comes to screens and trying to get other parents on the same board as me. You'll see. It's very interesting. On another note, in family news, at the Kelwoods house, my son, my seven-year-old, has been, well, he wants another boy in the house. He's always wanted another boy in the house because he's the only boy, because we're all girls. And even our dog is a girl, and he's always griping about that. And so he's been on us to get him a boy fish for like forever. But we already have a dog. And I'm like, we're not getting another pet. We're not doing it. Because who's going to be the one to clean the tanks? Who? Me. That's who. And I don't want to. But we went to the San Gennaro Festival, which is this festival that happens every year in Little Italy here in New York City. And they had rides and games, which I wasn't expecting. And one of the games was one of those games where you throw the ball, and if it gets into a bowl, you get a fish. You get a goldfish. And he was like, oh my God, please, please, please. So I like look over at Ann, and I'm like, wink, wink. Let's let him do it. Wink, wink. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. You know, like wink, wink. And we're not going to get any balls in these bowls. Then, of course, Ann starts throwing them, and she gets one in. Oh my God, we got a fish. She gets another in. Oh, we got two fishes. We ended up with two boy fishes. Now we got a fish tank. We got the whole thing, the whole nine yards. And my son is so excited because there are finally more boys in the house. When the guy was handing us the fish, I was like, those are the boy fish, right? Those are fish. Those are boy fish, right? And he was like, yeah, lady. Okay, whatever you say. I was like, yes, just say they're boys. Say they're boys. So he's super excited. He's got some boys to hang out with and the fish. Of course, that was like $10 to play the game. And then, of course, we had to go to the pet store and get an aquarium and the thing. So $100 later, now we got a whole setup and some fish that are probably going to die and we're going to have to replace. Now I feel such like I have to take care. I have to keep these things alive. It's so stressful in my life. But I'll tell you what, it's worth it for the smile on that little boy's face. It was really sweet. And I got the idea of saying they were boy fish from, this is a nod to my previous co-host, Robin, because she always talked about how she made sure they got a boy fish, quote unquote, for her son too, because he was having the same gripes. Yeah, boy fish, just a little way to help your kids through the gender gap that happens in our families sometimes. This little boy is... he's to the moon right now with these fish, and that's worth all that's worth everything. I haven't been able to get this kid to smile for a picture in probably like 2 years. He always makes a face, or, you know, he's in that age. That kid was holding those fish in those bags, and he has the biggest grin on his face in this picture. And it's worth it. It's worth it. That's parenting for you. There it is. Anyway, hope y'all are staying safe and healthy in your hearts during these trying times we're living through. And I hope this episode will offer you a little bit of lightness and hope and love, and also some great guidelines for how to make sure your kids stay safe on their screens. Okay. Also, my daughter broke her phone recently, so we've been dealing with that too. Anyway, enjoy this episode. I've really talked a lot for this intro. I apologize to all of you that you've heard my voice for so long, but I hope you enjoyed it. Let's roll that tape. Helen, Beulah, my lovely assistants who do not exist. There's nobody in this house but me. Please roll that tape. Let's go. Here comes Casey.
Queer. Y'all.
If you are a queer parent, and I have a feeling you might be, and you're dreaming of the ultimate family getaway, you have to check this out, y'all. Gays with Kids is hosting their fifth annual LGBTQIA+ Family Spring Break from April 2nd through April 6th, 2026. Mark that on your calendars. It is going to be the perfect mix of fun, community, and a beautiful chance to build real connections with other LGBTQIA families, like mine, because we're going to be there. We're going to be there too, and I want to see you there. This is it going to be 3 nights aboard Royal Caribbean International, cruising through the Bahamas, surrounded by other amazing queer families. If this sounds like your kind of trip, because it does for me, you're going to head to the link in the show notes to grab your spot. Oh, and don't forget to mention that you heard about it from the Queer Family Podcast. And come say hi to me when you're there. Okay, I hope to see you there. Let's get on with this show.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, Casey.
Hi.
It's a pleasure. We've already been talking like crazy, like old friends sitting at having coffee right now. So, like, this is such a fun little treat to have you, a fellow podcaster, here with me to chat.
Yeah, same. I feel the same way. So excited.
I know, me too. So, all right, without further ado, you're going to have to give us your 30-second elevator pitch, which is a very mean thing as a podcaster to do. I realize it fully. But your 30-second elevator pitch of who you are and why you're here talking to the Queer Fam Squad, I like to call them.
Yay.
On your mic.
I'm ready.
Get set. Okay, go.
My name is Casey O'Rourke. I am a positive discipline lead trainer. I'm a parent coach. I'm one of the co-founders at Sproutable, where we work with parents with kids from 0 beyond 18. I'm the adolescent lead there. I love all things teenager. I'm also a mom with a 19-year-old and a 22-year-old, and I've been through all the things. So if we were going to make a list of challenges, I'd be like, chick, 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 navigated all of that. I love, love, love supporting parents, specifically parents of adolescents.
And that's it. You're done. Okay. You went slightly over, but I feel like you had more to add.
Sorry about that 1 second.
That's okay. Everybody goes over. That's the whole point. That's the fun part. But you didn't mention your podcast.
Oh, geez. I'm the host of the Joyful Courage podcast. Listen to it in all the places that you also listen to this amazing show. And I love Jamie, and I'm here because I love you, and I'm super stoked and honored to be able to talk to your people. So thank you.
Oh, I love that. I'm excited to have you. I've been on your show.
Yeah, a couple times.
And so now you're on mine. And it's a full circle moment. And I have so many questions for you about the adolescence. Mm-hmm. So freaking many. And we have to talk about the elephant in the room. You are an ally. You're not one of us queers, but that's okay.
Yeah,
we forgive you for it because
you're
awesome and we love you.
I'm also white. I'm middle class. Yeah. I'm like cisgender.
Too.
I'm so basic.
I'm basic.
Thank you
except
for loving
the
me
lesbian
anyway.
Part. Listen, we're just two basic bitches talking on a mic here, but that's okay. We're going to have a good conversation. I'm really excited to actually pick your brain and hear the things. But before we go into adolescence, I feel like because we were already talking about something else before we hit record, and I feel like we should just finish that conversation up a little bit because we happen to be, both of us, have spouses with cancer right now.
Yeah.
And I said that with a giggle and then stopped myself. I don't know why I'm giggling, but it's a thing.
It is.
It's a thing. And whenever you can talk to another spouse who's going through it side by side with their spouse, it is cathartic, I think, to be able to talk to somebody else who's watching their spouse go through one of the most difficult things
ever. Yeah.
There is to go through. We were talking about your husband has a blood cancer.
Mm-hmm. He has multiple myeloma, which is a blood cancer. Usually it shows up in older people, not just middle-aged people. So he was diagnosed in 2020, went through treatment, which was bizarre, but also perfect that it was pandemic because he had a stem cell transplant, which totally gets rid of your immune system and you're like a little baby. A baby immune system.
Oh my God.
So
you can't like go out.
Exactly. The fact that the kids weren't in school and nobody was coming over in our family really tightened up. I know that's not the case in every family, but it was like such a tight, beautiful. And we had already been navigating, which my daughter's been on the podcast to talk about, right before Ben got diagnosed. She was having a total mental health spiral. And actually, Ben's diagnosis kind of was this opportunity for her to see, like, oh, the world actually doesn't revolve around me. I'm not at the center of crisis anymore. And so it's interesting to kind of think about how that served her healing journey, which is bizarre to say. Anyway, it went dormant and now he's back in treatment. It's kind of peaked back up. I think about multiple myeloma as something that they can kind of put to rest for a little while. And then it cancer's smart. And so it figures out the workaround and shows back up. So it's kind of a lifestyle, which is weird to say, but
awful. Not fun. Not fun at all. But you put it into perspective a little bit for me already. Like you were talking about it earlier with me when you said it was like somewhat of a gift this cancer has been. Like not to call it a gift.
Right.
But
there's pieces in there. Well, it's interesting to be in an experience that's kind of this ongoing, ever-present experience versus something like breast cancer or lung or other kinds of cancers where it's like, go in, take care of it,
get it out,
remission, carry on. Blood cancer is a little bit different so far. And like I said to you, Jamie, like easy for me to say as the person without cancer, like, but especially this round, like there's some deep personal spiritual growth that's happening in my marriage and in Ben's experience, just the way that he's holding everything right now. You know, there's this cracking open of, I think if you allow it or if you're willing to go there and you don't have to, and fuck cancer, like, ew, you know,
cancer.
Like, first of all, ew, get out. No one needs to have cancer.
Nobody needs this.
And also it is this, like, what I'm observing is it's this opportunity for a cracking open to really allow the soul to have a space in the human experience, if that makes sense. I mean, we're not religious, but I'm really spiritual. You know, I'm just really seeing him doing some deep soul work in a different way than round one. You know, and I think the universe really is like, I don't know. I hold hard things as, okay, like, how is this an opportunity? What's possible here?
Yeah.
What is this making possible?
What can I
again
grow from this?
Easy for me to say, not being
of
alone
course
with cancer. But
same,
we've also,
me too.
Yeah, but we've also moved through all sorts of other things. Like, you know, I already kind of mentioned the stuff that went down with my daughter was really hard, and witnessing her being inside of, you know, what felt like a cage of mental unhealth, you know, non-health. It was really, it's kind of that same experience. It almost trained me up to be with what's going on with Ben. So, you know, mostly life is great. You know, mostly life is tight and connected, and
that's
we're
awesome
planning for the future and in a place of deep, like, hope and possibility. And there's this little annoying sideshow of we got to go to Seattle pretty regularly so he can get an immunotherapy injection. And his belly doesn't feel good because he has to take these chemo pills. And so, all the things, life unfolding, right?
That's what I keep saying. Life is lifing for us. I keep saying it to myself. It's just life lifing. We are getting a severe dose of life right now, and handling it however each of us needs to handle it.
Yeah.
And I'm not the one going through the side effects. I'm not the one going through the treatment, and I don't know what it feels like, but I know it's just been so hard for her.
Yeah.
And I'm helpless in being able to help her, you know? And for her, it's just been like a deep sadness, like some big moods that sometimes she just can't shake, which is heartbreaking, you know? And then this cancer journey, like you were just kind of saying, like, it's just this like ongoing journey that seems to just really never have a freaking end. Like we thought when we got to the end of the chemo, it was going to be this huge, like we were going to celebrate, but no, then it's like, oh yeah, by the way, now you have 14 immunotherapy treatments every 3 weeks, which is a year, over, you know, it's over a year. of more treatments.
Modern medicine also, inside of Ben's journey, my brother also was diagnosed with metastatic melanoma, brain tumors, like gnarly stuff. I mean, they thought he was going to die. He is the poster child for immunotherapy. Like, he rang the bell, no detectable cancer in his body. It was a 2-year nightmare for him. And he came out the other side. I mean, amazing things are happening in cancer medicine and research. So,
right.
Thank you.
Just got to get through
to people
it.
Who love science.
Thank you. Right. Totally. Thank God for science.
Thank God for people who love science. Right. Thank God for
vaccines.
Those people. Yes. Yes. All for it. I mean,
it's a journey, and then the radiation, and it's just like navigating the moods of a whole other human being that doesn't handle life the same way you necessarily handle life.
Right.
So, you know, maybe one day in this journey, we'll get to a place where we're having a spiritual awakening together, but I don't know. I don't know, Casey.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what's been really helpful for my man is I have a really good friend who does Reiki energy work.
Uh-huh.
And she's one of those people that's like the real deal.
She's
like magic. And he has been going to see her, and that has been such a powerful venue for him to be with. You know, he's kind of that typical raised male, emotional intelligence wasn't top of mind for the adults in his life as he developed. So it's been a really great avenue for him to be with the emotional experience. And yeah, so highly rack.
If you've got a Reiki person. Maybe I'll look into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I don't have one, but I can find one, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Listeners is going to know someone in the New York City. Listeners, tell me, the queer world, they're going to know a Reiki person.
For sure. Queers
Somebody
and hippies, we know the Reiki people.
We know the Reiki people. Oh, my God. Okay, so that being said, we're each going through our cancer journeys here, but let's talk a little bit about the adolescence in our lives. Because it is a whole thing, Casey. Like, what is happening?
I mean, it's also a lifestyle. It's a season, you know? It's this long transition between childhood and adulthood. And, you know, something that I say about parenting teenagers is the messiness is not an indicator that you're doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The messiness is the teen brain development that there's no getting around. There's no like secret formula to somehow not have to deal with teen brain development. It is happening no matter what.
You know what is shocking to me? It's happening earlier than I expect. She's 11, right? So she seems like a 16-year-old to me at this point.
Yep.
She's so mature. She's super independent. She's always, like, since she came out of the womb, that child craved independence. And actually, I find that the more independence she gets, the easier she gets.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, like, from birth to now, I'd actually say she's the easiest to get along with now, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving me a look like it's going to change. Get ready.
Well, when independence clashes with what you're comfortable with is where it gets a little slippery. Because they're on this trajectory and we're like, wait. You know, my hand is moving up for listeners. But
this is what so we're going to talk about screens too, because that's a whole other frontier land. But like what I'm noticing with this whole tween, she's a tween. She's not a teen yet, right? She seems like a teen. But they're not all kind of maturing at the same rate, right?
Mm-hmm.
So her small group of girlfriends, they all seem to be the same. They all have the same level of independence and they're into the same stuff. And like she's out on the streets on her own now. Like she gets everywhere by herself.
I live out in like country land. So I'm thinking New York City. She's like hopping on the subway and cruising around. That blows my mind. I can't even do that comfortably. I'm like, oh,
right. Well, I never thought I would be comfortable with it. But when she went to middle school, it was like, I'm going to walk to school on my own. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great. And then it's her closest friends all live in another neighborhood that takes a train to get to. And so she's like, I'm going to go to so-and-so's house in Soho. Okay. So that's what's happening now. So she's doing that. And she takes the train regularly on her own now, which is like...
amazing.
Okay. And I have to kind of have a level of... I have to remove myself a little bit because I can't think about this too much because she's going to do it. She's going to be on the train, right?
You chose to live in New York City.
Exactly.
That's on you.
And I wanted... yes, exactly. And we stay here because we want them to have independence and we want them to know how to navigate the city and we want them to see all walks of life, right? So it's a choice we made. You are so correct. And then it's also, if I really sit down and think about this, this is scary as shit. It is so scary.
I mean, it's so interesting that that is scary and people are buying smartphones for their 8-year-olds and letting them have full reign. Like that.
That I don't get.
Right. And that is like so much more access to worst case scenarios that is just not landing for parents. Like, you know, I'm actually doing an interview after this with Dr. Twenge. Her last name, it's spelled T-W-E-N-G-E. And she just wrote a book called The 10 Rules for Raising Kids in a High-Tech World.
Oh.
And one of her things, she talks about limits on screens, and we can go into screens whenever you want.
Yeah, we're in it.
One of her rules is also more access to real life experience and real world stuff. And so, you know, you're already following one of the rules, just having your girl out there being independent. So good job.
Yes. But yes and, right? Yes and. She's, you know, she's got her phone. Mm-hmm. I'm not letting her go out on the street without the phone because obviously I track her. You say real life experience, but she's got her nose on that phone the whole time she's walking, like, which is like, ooh. I tell her constantly, nope, when you walk, the phone is down. The phone is down. You do not look at, but she keeps doing it. And it's, you know, it's something that I continuously yell at her for.
Yeah. The other rule is starting with the basic phone. So there shouldn't be anything for her to look at unless it's a map.
Right. It's the texting, though, because it's the texting. It's the and they're on all these group chats. So this is what happens. You get them the message. You get them the device finally. So she finally got it in sixth grade. She got her phone.
After they beg since they're 5 years old, which is so weird.
Exactly. So annoying. And what I was shocked by was the fact that they don't communicate. I knew that they texted all the time, but they've refused to communicate via phone call. Like, that is like, ew, mom, I'm not calling her. Why would I call her? I don't know, just give her a call. No, ew, I'll text her. Like, it's like deep. This runs very deep with these children. So she's walking on the street and she's just texting people all the time.
Yeah.
But what we did do, even when she had an iPad as a kid, there's no Safari. We took off.
Okay, good.
She can't search the internet. You can't take it off of Apple devices for everybody at home. You can't take it off, but you can set a 1-minute time limit. So she has 1 minute to like search something up and she'll do it. She'll be like, I have a minute, you know. And my son too, like their devices, because he's got an iPad, but there's no internet on the devices.
Yeah.
Which that we did and they think we're monsters for it. And I don't know. What do you think about that? Like, you know more than me. 100%.
No. I mean, if I could go back in time, I would do it differently. I mean,
really?
Yeah. Well, iPads came into my life because of my beautiful, wonderful, generous, didn't check in with me first. Mom gave each of my kids an iPad with their name engraved in the back. Yeah. And I was like,
it's basically same.
Yeah. And they were young. And the first thing that happened was Rowan racked up like a $200 bill on collecting jewels. I don't know. I was unprepared.
Oh, my God.
It was like, go crazy. And then, oh, my God, we've got to rein this in. But I was so unprepared for it. I was so unprepared for the iPad, which just kind of spun into then an iPod Touch. Right? We didn't do phones, but they basically had a phone. It was called an iPod Touch. I kept them off social media till eighth grade, except for when I saw that my daughter was actually, I got a friend request or a friend suggestion from my daughter on Snapchat. I remember being in the backyard and saying, oh, babe, come on down here. I think she was in sixth or seventh grade.
So she friended you, a Snapchat friend request. Oh,
Snapchat was like, you might know this person. And I was like, well, actually, Snapchat, I do. And the only reason I was on Snapchat is because I was trying to prepare myself to understand it for when she did get on it. Anyway, it was a whole thing. If I could go back in time, I would get my kid a basic phone. I would not get them an Apple product because mm-hmm. they're out there. Phones that start with nothing and then you can build. I would start with that.
Right. We tried.
I know. We got to try harder, though.
I know.
We got to try harder.
I know.
For all of you that are listening with younger kids, try it. Be better than us. Be better than me.
I know. Now, see, and now that we gave the daughter the iPhone, the son is like, it's like, how am I going to say, oh, no, you don't get one? Like,
you just say it.
But
you say, I'm so
you.
Sorry. I did the wrong thing. And I love you.
Oh,
I love
God.
You more than your sister. That's why I'm, no, just kidding. Because I've been on college campuses. I mean, my son is a sophomore in college and I moved him into his apartment a few weeks ago. And I mean, these devices are doing damage to an entire generation of kids.
Yeah.
And I already mentioned my daughter's mental health. Would she have been, I mean, she came out wired anxious. Like that was a part of her temperament and, you know, which morphed into body dysmorphia, like so much crippling anxiety. She ended up dropping out of school in 11th grade, you know, has since gotten her esthetician license, works at a beautiful spa, is now in college, is a junior at Western Washington University studying biochemistry and is like doing amazing. And
awesome.
I wonder what life would have been like for her without this added layer of madness. And this gal that I'm interviewing later today, she also says, like, no social media till they get their driver's license.
Yeah.
Like, they just don't need it.
That's what we're trying to do. And I had no idea how hard this was going to be because her friends have TikTok and Snapchat already. And she gets, like, we call it social media time, where she gets to look at Anne's phone, Anne's TikTok account, for like a set amount of time, like every once in a while, when we're around and monitoring what she's watching. But here's the thing with that. She tells her friends, oh yeah, I have a TikTok account. She basically thinks that that's her TikTok account, mm-hmm. which it basically kind of is because Anne doesn't actually use TikTok.
Right.
She only got TikTok to like all my videos.
Good job, Anne. Would you like mine too? Because I only have like 80 followers on TikTok.
Yeah. I'll set that up. I'll tell my daughter.
Everyone out there.
Everybody go follow Casey.
Follow Casey. Joyful Courage.
And let's get those follows up. I know. Here we are talking about how
I don't even do it. I don't look at anything on TikTok. I'm afraid because I have an app on my phone, the Opal app, which shuts down social media for big chunks of my day and night because I can't be trusted. I have a problem.
I get it. I'm on it all the time because I manage the social media. Yeah, that's what I tell my kids. It's work. I'm not, because I do, I need to research what the trends are and I have to pick up on the right trend. Like, it's so dumb. But
I'm not watching comedians as babies because of AI saying hilarious things. I'm not. There's no hot.
I don't have just a feed
jump ropers
of French
that
bulldogs.
I'm watching. What?
I don't look at cute puppies constantly.
Yeah, but I'm not watching babies swear.
Right. Oh, not at all in the bathroom mirror. No.
That's so funny.
Not at all. Oh, God. But like, okay, so like it's really addictive and we know this.
And we know this. It's a problem for everybody, not just our kids.
And so we're trying to hold like till 16. We told her you cannot have any social media. We also did this thing where we did it wrong when she was little because grandma gave her an iPad. Yes, same thing. And we didn't know YouTube was as bad as it was. And all of a sudden she's watching those videos of people unwrapping gifts. And she was like addicted to YouTube at like the age of 5. And so we told her one day we decided to do it. We told her YouTube went out of business. It was gone. She believed us. And that stuck for 3 years. She thought YouTube was out of business.
I mean,
so
we got rid
of the YouTube habit with her. And then like her friend was on it one day and she was like, Oh my God, mom, guess what? YouTube is back. So it worked. And then we had to fess up and tell her we lied.
Yeah.
But like So to this day, my son is not, he's not allowed YouTube. He's never been allowed YouTube, but all his friends watch YouTube. And that's his battle is, Mom, please let me watch YouTube. And her battle is, Mom, let me have Snapchat.
Yeah.
And TikTok. And so.
And it's like, I mean, like, think about smoking and nicotine, right? Yeah. I mean, problematic nicotine use happens because we, and I'll put myself in this category because I have had a relationship with nicotine that has been super irritating, although
it's me and wine.
These days. But good job. You know, it's an adolescent, it's something we, you know, it works for the tobacco companies for us to get hooked in adolescence, and we're lifelong, you know, users, and it's the same thing, you know, and it's not inhaling toxins in our body, but it is absolutely affecting brain development. I mean, we know this. And so, you know, what I think, if I were going back in time, I would have just been such the obnoxious mom. And we've talked about this before, being the mom who always is like, well, I would be the one who was like, really like, come on, everyone, moms, come over. We got to talk about these screens. We got to be aligned. How can we support each other? Like that way. And schools, yeah. I was just listening to an NPR story about how many school districts are starting this school year. And I know it's been a slow rollout, locking away students' phones.
It just happened in New York City, citywide. But Rose's middle school already had that policy. Mm-hmm. They already had to put their phones in the Yonder bags. And that was one of our prerequisites when we were looking for choosing middle schools. Yeah. Because Anne works in a high school and they have Yonder bags. And
okay. Yeah. Yonder bags. Tell me about the Yonder bags because I'm trying to picture it in my head. Is it like a?
It's like a leather or fake leather bag that's magnetic.
Okay.
So when they walk into school, they all have their own Yonder bag, or maybe it's not leather. I don't know what it is, but when they walk in the building, they have to put their phone in and it closes and it locks. And then the only way to open it is with a special super powerful magnet.
At the end of the day.
The school has. So as they leave, they get to unlock their bag.
Okay. Because I was confused by that. I didn't understand why they're carrying a bag with their phone in it and can't get in it. Okay.
Yeah. So it locks. So they're not able to use it. But if there's an emergency and they need it, then the administration can use the magnet thing. But then kids found ways. Like if you go on YouTube and they know how to open them and they know how to, you can buy the magnet on Amazon or some shit. Like it's.
Yeah.
Like
fake IDs for the young adults. Like,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That was one of our prerequisites for the school that we went to. And I think that it's great that all the school districts are kind of adopting this because I do think that's important.
Yeah, for sure. It has to be, I mean, the adults need to, we shit the bed, you know, like we did not look downstream and
it came out of nowhere.
And what do we know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was fun for us. Like what? Facebook? I can stalk my fun. High school boyfriends?
I know.
What?
Yeah. So fun.
Yeah.
And like, ew, so Facebook, fun. What's wrong with you, Mom?
I know. Totally.
See, what I wasn't anticipating. So we were all in alignment with kind of the elementary school parents that we were close with, that we had developed relationships with. And the parents that we were closest with, we were kind of like on a similar page in regards to technology and phones and, you know, and then in fifth grade, some of the moms ended up buying their kids phones. And I was like, what? But then we were kind of estranged from them. They broke it, right? But whatever. We were able to like, you know, then they go to middle school in the city where I live. Then they go to middle school and it's all new kids. So I don't know any of these families. So for me to like reach out to these parents that I still barely know in seventh grade and be like, hey, can we get together and discuss your cell phone policies? It's like, I don't think I'm ever going to do that,
right.
But that's what should happen. But I don't think I'm going to do that. Like, and these kids have way more access than my kid does.
And I'll tell you, from working with parents of teenagers one-on-one and in my membership and in the classes that I do, everybody is struggling. And there's the holdouts who are working hard. And the holdouts that are having the most success are the ones that not only have the very clear limits and are really standing firm in those limits, but also are normalizing conversations, are validating, I know this sucks and you hate me right now, and it is really hard to hold this limit. the other alternative is being really firm on your limits and creating a cat and mouse game, mm-hmm. right? And like, I remember I tell this story about when Ian was younger, my son Ian, and there was like this box of cookies on the counter and we had eaten many. And I was like, okay, I'm putting these on top of the refrigerator. And Ian looked at me and he was like, Mom, I can totally climb up there and get those cookies. And I said, oh, no, I know that you can. That's not why I'm putting them up there. I'm putting them up there so they're out of sight, so we're not thinking about them. It's not about, mm-hmm. can I challenge you to still get them? It's just about, let's put them away because we just had a whole bunch. And so that's the energy that I really worked, you know, even with my mistakes, with my kids. And Ian, easier than Rowan. Let's check screen time. Let's see who's doing the best, right?
Yeah,
and oftentimes my screen time was worse than his.
Well,
sometimes he'd be
do.
Like, oh my God, I'm at like 6.5 hours. And I'm like, oh, how does that feel? You know, and he'd say like, it feels kind of gross. I'm like, okay, so what might you do to help yourself, you know? And so that's kind of what I want is to develop critical thinking. I want to create a space that is developing his critical thinking, which is different than the parents who are like, oh, well, they're going to have to figure it out. So why bother with limits? I think that's right. A cop out. I think that that's lazy on the part of the parents because it is hard to hold the boundary and follow through.
It is hard.
And that is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, limits and with like really meaningful conversation, not lectures, you know, but I want them to have the information while also understanding that having the information doesn't mean that we don't do the things. Otherwise, nobody would drink or try drugs, right? Or smoke or any of those things. But it is like, you know, what are you, child of mine, going to do with this information? And how do you feel? And, you know, my kids, they're on their own journeys with a variety of things, right? But it's that critical. I just keep coming at them. I want to talk harm reduction. I want to talk critical thinking. I share my own struggles as a model for what it looks like. And they are doing okay. They're not making bad choices or, you know, looking for novelty, but they're, you know, versus me at their age where I was like kind of wild and crazy and not thinking about like, oh, maybe there's a reason why I'm so promiscuous in college. Maybe I need to talk to somebody about this. Maybe it's not just me being like, whatever, you know, like I had this whole thing where I was like, the boys do it. Why can't I?
Right.
Well,
oh, yeah.
I really just wanted a boyfriend.
Such a feminist.
Yeah. I really just wanted a boyfriend and all I could get was one night stand. So there you go.
Oh God, Casey.
Okay. It's out in the open. Really trusting the Queer Family Podcast to hold my secrets.
So smart. We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
All right, now seems like a good time to just drop in and tell you about my promo code with California Cryobank. If you are looking to start building your family and you think a sperm bank is the right path for you, the promo code I'm going to share with you right now is what you need. You're going to go to cryobank.com. You're going to use code QueerFam25, and you're going to get a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog where you can start looking at the donors and seeing if the right donor for you is there. It doesn't hurt to go check. And they have hundreds of donors from all different diverse backgrounds. And they do extensive medical testing and they really, really show up for the Lhiga Pitiqua community. They're really putting the work in when it comes to being upstanders for our community. And y'all know I love a good upstander. So go to cryobank.com, use code QueerFam25 to get that free level 2 subscription. You can also use that code towards a level 3 subscription, which gives you even more info about the donors. So go to cryobank.com, use that code and start making those babies now. And then come tell me about them.
Love is love.
No, but it's interesting. What you're saying, it makes so much perfect sense. And I also come to parenting with that. I do that with so many things. I do that when we talk about family. I do that when we talk about religion because I'm raising them without religion. So I bring the critical thinking to so many aspects of how I'm parenting. But I have not when it comes to technology and screens. No, I haven't. Like, I haven't. That's like really kind of eye opening for me, like sitting down and okay, let's look at your screens and then let's critically talk through this. Like, no, I have not done that. I do that with practically everything else.
And critically talk through it is you asking questions. It's not you delivering critical thinking. It's really you drawing forth and creating an environment where critical thinking can come to life. And that's what and how questions. That's what and how questions, just everybody. It's not why, so throw why out. It's not yes or no questions. And I think it's really important, too, that we leave our agenda at the door. Like, we really get to practice neutral, non-judgment.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're sniffing us out, and they're like, okay, this is a trap, and what do you want me to say? How can I get out of this conversation?
All right. I'm realizing I have to have some sit downs with my kids, both kids, because actually I think it's going to be tougher with my son than my daughter. My daughter can put it down.
She
walks away. Right.
She's very early. It's early days, Jamie. Yeah. And I don't mean say that as like an alarmist because I'm not into that kind of support.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, that's why when parents are like, oh, but they're good kids and they're not doing anything weird. It's like, no, you still need to have everything locked down because eventually they are going to get exposed to this, that, or the other, or have this idea or this thought. And if they can slide into, you know, the darkness of the tool, because it's really a tool, you don't want to have to backtrack because that's really hard. That's really hard.
No, I know.
Hard.
That's because I feel like I already, with my seven-year-old, I have to backtrack from what you're telling me right now anyway. Because we have limits on screens. He doesn't get the iPad during the school week, but he gets it on the weekends and he has supposed to have a two-hour limit on the weekends, right? But 2 hours each day, Saturday and Sunday, which got real relaxed over the summer.
Of course, yes.
Real relaxed. And then cancer has actually thrown a wrench in and he's gotten way more than before. And he's turning into a little kind of terror about it. He doesn't have YouTube, but he finds ways to find the shows, like because they have the Happy Kids app and which shows you all the stuff that's on YouTube. It drives me crazy. But all we've done so far is like, nope, you can't, nope, that's not, you're not allowed. That's not, you're not allowed to watch that. But why? Why? Because we said so, you know, we're not, but I don't know what to say, honestly, like.
Well, one of the rules too in this book, because there's been some really good books written, like The Anxious Generation got so much press, which I honestly did not read cover to cover, but I listened to most of it. And it just felt like so much information. It didn't feel like a lot of, and maybe I just didn't get to this section, like practical, okay, great. I'm terrified now.
What am
I supposed to do? And she is telling you exactly what to do, including like they have to ask permission to add an app, any app.
We have that. And we have the settings.
And Jamie, I think this highlights you're doing the things and it's hard.
We're trying. It's so fucking hard.
And I think that's what gets in the way for a lot of parents is it's like, it's so hard. I must be doing it wrong or I shouldn't be so hardcore about it. But with this, you should. You would not let your kid start driving. You know, you wouldn't be like, a lot of Coke is too much. But here, let's dabble. You know? Like...
You're so true.
By the way,
it's so
Coke
right.
addict, I'm just going to put it over here. Don't touch it.
Right.
And I'm going to get mad at you.
You only get this much of it today.
Yeah. You only get one line today and two on the weekends.
Two on the weekends. Oh, my God. Whew. Yeah. Like when you use that analogy, that's a real.
And we don't want to talk about it like that. Like there are actual rehabilitation centers for people who have tech addiction. And it's like this weird little thing that we're dancing around. Like parents will say, oh God, my kid's totally addicted to their phone.
Right.
And yet, okay.
They're like, not doing anything about it.
That is problematic.
Right.
And, you know, I say that as one of those parents. I mean, my kids are, Ian did come to me a couple of years ago and he's like, oh God, mom, I watched this TED talk. You've got to watch it. And it was this guy, he had 100 little circles. And he's like, okay, each of these circles represents 1 year of your life if you were to live to 100. And he talked about like 18-year-olds today. So this was like 2023. And the way that they use technology, right? So this is the amount of years you will spend asleep in your life as an average person, average 18-year-old over the course of time. Here's the amount of time you'll, and it's like all these little dots are filled up. Here's the amount of time you'll spend eating. I can't remember the other things. Here's the amount of time you're going to spend looking at your phone. It is, it's like 30 years or something. Unreal. And I will get you that link and you should put it in the show notes because it is a very powerful TED talk.
Yes, please.
And Ian was like, oh my God, I'm going to get rid of it. Like he was so appalled. And then he went to college and I went and I was visiting and him and his roommate were, I was like, so, you know, how's the screen time? And he kind of rolled his eyes. I said, well, what about that TED talk? He's like, yeah, that TED talk is really annoying because it is in my mind. It's in my mind while I'm overusing my phone, you know? So.
Did a lot of good. It did a lot of good. But, you know.
But it's in there. It's a little brain worm or whatever they call it. It is in there. And I do believe that he has an awareness that will serve him when he's ready. He feels the tension. And that's what we want. Like, if nothing else, I want my kids to feel the tension of like, oh, good. I've been on.
I'm still looking at this.
Yeah, an hour of cat videos. I got to put this down, right? Versus just la, la, la.
Oh, my God. Okay, so what do we do? What do we do? What are like some of these pillars?
Get this book.
Get the book. Everybody get the book. It's going to be in the show notes.
I know, this is such free publicity for this gal who I've not interviewed yet.
Listen, it's worth it. But like, I am thinking about when my kid is like, no, you can't have YouTube. But why? But why? It doesn't, like, I don't know what else to say. I don't know how to explain why to my seven-year-old.
They're asking why because it's like they're backed in a corner and... I think the best thing that you can do instead of answering the why is validating, like, it sucks.
I know.
You really like this thing. And it's really fun to watch. And you love these shows. And they're entertaining. It makes sense that you want to spend all day watching these things. And it's really important that you have real life experiences. Real life experiences are what are actually supporting your brain development, which they're like, you know, that's when we turn into the Charlie Brown adult as well, right? As soon as we move from validation to actually bestowing our wisdom about the research, that's when we turn into Charlie Brown adults. So don't think that you need to spend a lot of time there because it doesn't land. Really spend your time in the validation and just a broken record. My job is to protect your health and well-being.
And I do say that a lot. And he's like, but I'm healthy, you know.
I know. So I'm so glad that you're healthy. I know. It sucks. I have a problem with this too. And that coupled with what are the real life experiences that your kiddos are having and what can you add in? You know, and even as I say that, if you have listeners with 14, 15, 16-year-olds that are already in the massive screen misuse, I see you. I know. You know, for you, it's really about like we need, because these are a privilege. These are not a right. These screens are not a right. You do not have to buy your kids iPads, phones. You don't have to do it. Okay. It's a privilege. And with privilege comes responsibility. Mm-hmm. And responsibility isn't, well, you clean up your room and you can have some more screen time. Responsibility is you've got to be willing to have conversations about limits. You have to be willing to follow the rules. And I'm a positive discipline person. And we are all about collaboration. We are not about punishment or rewards. We're about, you know, natural consequences that connect with whatever the mistake was. But with this, just like with drugs and alcohol, like you've got to have hard rules. And there are places that are not up for negotiation, collaboration. Inside of those things, you can say, you know, for our family, you know, what does healthy screen time look like in our family? You know, I want this app. Before it's like hard no, tell me about that. What is this app? Mm. Teach me. Why do you right. want it? You know, and does it fit inside of our family values around screen time and health and well-being?
Yeah, I mean, we have some limits. Like, he can't get anything above his age limit, which drives him crazy. But we've never wavered on that. So, like, it's just, nope, you're not old enough.
We love you, and it's okay for you to be mad at us. Like, that's the other thing, too. It's okay for you to be pissed about this.
Totally. And we monitor whatever apps, like, we have to approve it. Mm-hmm. So that's a thing for both of them.
Great.
They can't make purchases, obviously, like absolutely not. No purchases are allowed to be made on these devices. But then he got the Amazon app and his sister taught him how to go in and make lists of things that they want. There's no card attached to it. It's not an account. But he has an Amazon app now with lists of all the things he wants.
And what a tool, right? Like if you're doing allowance, like, okay, so do the math. How much allowance each week do you need to save to, you know, like it can be a useful
tool. It can
be. And I think, Jamie, I think you are setting yourself up really well, your family up really well with this thing that's a nightmare. And it's just like that messiness piece. The work for parents is, yes, the limits, but it's also our own work of being with the discouragement, the disappointment, the pushback, like keeping it together.
So annoying.
Right. As our kids are like, wait, what? I mean, hopefully 10 years from now, it's a different conversation.
We're the guinea pigs. And then they're going to be like, oh, we have this now to protect your children, you know, like, but we're the guinea pigs. But it's funny. So you're saying I'm doing a good job. Here, let me throw the wrench in, really.
Okay. Tell me the truth. What's really going on over there?
When it comes to the personal devices, like iPad or phone, they have limits, right? But TV is a whole other thing. So, like,
do you know what I heard about TV recently?
Oh, no.
Like, back in the old days, like the old days, like the caveman days, mm-hmm. cave people days, what did they do in the evening? They sat around the fire and they told stories and they entertained each other with stories. And so when I think about TV, it's like, well, there's no fire, but man, there's some really good storytelling. We're just like the cave people.
There it is. I like that, Casey. I like that. But like, this is the thing. Like, so he can't have his iPad during school days, but once he finishes the tasks he has to do when he comes home, the homework and the bath and the things that have to get done, he's allowed to turn the TV on.
Okay.
So it's not like my kid is screen free during the week.
Right.
He turns that TV on like it's his job. But I feel that now you can correct me here. I feel like I know what he's watching. It's an actual TV show. He's not scrolling and watching YouTubers play video games. He's only allowed to watch Netflix or Prime or Disney, you know. And so it's got to be like a set show, you know. And I know exactly what he's watching because it's in the living room, which is where I am. So yeah, we're doing a good job with the devices, but the screens are happening.
Well, I think constantly. The devices are the personal devices are the problematic piece, are the most problematic piece. And I mean, if with TV, if it's like, oh, geez, they're still watching like 4 hours of TV a day. Well, yeah, then it's like, okay, so what are you going to do there? But it's even a bigger, fuller picture, which is, what are the things they're doing outside of the house? Like your girl all over the city granted, she's looking at her phone. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, but then there's a conversation around how is she staying safe? Like, how is she staying aware of her? Like, it's a conversation about being aware of her surroundings versus looking at her screen. I got trained to run a program called the Invitation to Change, which is for families with family members who are in active addiction, usually drug addiction or alcohol addiction. And so one of the things that I love that I took away from that is change happens with addition, not subtraction. So that's a really interesting thing to hold. What can we add to our life? Like even, you know, TV, can you slide in games, you know, board games, card games? What can you do instead of, which requires us to be engaged.
Which is the hard part, which we do as much as we can, especially on the weekends.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes. And I like that addition rather than subtraction. And I'm realizing, you know, my daughter is like, we have the conversation all the time about being aware, and it's New York City. Like, girl, you got to be aware. And she knows it, right?
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of people on the street.
I'm sure.
So, yes, right? Then she's home and she's constantly up in the chat, like texting. It's like a constant. So I don't know how much I should limit that. Like, at first we had strict limits and you had to turn it off at 7. And now we let it go all the way until she heads into bed. You know, like, we've gotten really relaxed.
And another one of the rules, again, I love this lady. And it's a rule that kind of we tried to play in our house too, that we leaned into, was like, what are the no phone? Instead of like, you only get this much time, look at it like, when is the non-time, right? So school is a non-device time. I'm sure you have a curfew, a phone curfew, like a time in the evening when it's like, okay, it's bedtime now. So taking it out of their rooms.
No phone in the bedroom, no device in the bedroom overnight.
Right.
She has it during the day. But yeah, right. She leaves it out here.
Yeah.
She leaves it in the living room.
Right. And having a specific time where, you know, no phones at the table when we're sitting down to eat, or, you know, no phones in the morning until a certain time. So I think more, or if we're going to sit down and watch a movie together as a family,
let's
all put our phones away. And everybody, like, it's family rules. Versus just kid rules. I know.
I'm like, I am a pro at checking my phone when we're watching those family movies.
I know. And we have to model. I mean, there's a reason that toddlers and preschoolers reach for devices, and it's because they're looking around the room and that's what everyone else is doing. And so it makes sense that our kids get to an age and it's like, awesome, now it's my turn to do this thing that's clearly fun or whatever because everybody else is doing it. So that's another piece that I really like that I saw in this book, was that like the no phone zone. You know, if you're in the, you know, if you're someone that uses a car, I remember as my kids got closer to driving age, it became really clear, like, I want them to be comfortable not checking their phone in the car.
Yeah.
Right. Meanwhile, driving the freeway people are on their phone all the time when they're driving.
All the time.
Because we have, we're it's like this antsy feeling of what am I missing? You're not missing anything.
Well, my kids both look at devices in the car. My son has this weird thing about the smell of the car, so he can't get in the car. He'll literally throw up unless he's looking at a screen. It's really annoying. So
yeah.
Anyway, that's like an issue. He's always on a device in the car.
Yeah.
But we're not in the car very often.
Yeah. And maybe you have a box of books in the car. Maybe you look for alternatives, right? You know.
Yeah, we got to find something better.
Yeah, and that's, I think, that's, we have to be creative because.
I'm like, let's buy a new car because our son, because we need to get him off the iPad in the car.
Yeah, we need a new smell.
And our car smells. Yeah. Oh, God, the things. So my takeaways here. Here's my takeaway. No phone zones, which I will say we do that, like with dinner, and we have that, but I think we need to do more. Communicating with other parents, this is a big takeaway for me. Like, I have to figure out ways to do better at trying to get the other parents onto the same page.
They want to be, I think that we get to go into that remembering, like, ultimately everybody is struggling with this. So go into it thinking not that you're going to have to strong arm people, but instead that people are going to be like, oh my God, thank God somebody's rallying the troops here because this is, you know, and use the school as a resource too.
I find parents to be a little bit like, they want to talk about this and they are worried and they are scared and oh my God. But when it comes time to actually like make the change.
Yeah. Well, they have to look at the monster they've created.
Yeah. And a lot of them are just like, I don't want to say they're lazy, but they don't want to do the work.
Yeah.
They don't want to do the work, or they don't have time to do the work, or they can't, you know. So there's that. So I have to communicate better with the parents And the whole sitting down with my kids and using critical thinking around devices and screens. And I'm going to use what you said, Casey. We're going to start like all looking at our screen time on the device and comparing.
Yeah.
And my son is going to be like, I have less than all of you. And it's going to be really annoying. And I'm going to have the most, obviously.
Yeah, you are. And so you're going to get to say, like, I got to figure out how to help myself. You know, like that's the other thing
so
with
I can
parenting,
model.
Especially teenagers, like live out loud, mm-hmm. meaning, you know, I'm really struggling with this thing and this is how I'm helping myself. And not to make it like, welcome to my TED Talk, but just naturally and organically, like we need our kids to see that this is ongoing. Like as human beings, we get to be self-reflective. We get to pivot. We get to help ourselves. It's not you become an adult and you no longer have shit to wade through, you know? So.
And all of this is all how I parent, right? But I'm realizing like I have this aspect of it slide a bit. Like, why haven't I bridged it over into this land? Everything else, I do. I model this. I model working through stuff, but not when it comes to phone. I have been relaxed. And I'm not saying I'm relaxed about screens. I've just been not using the things I know to be true about how I want a parent. I don't know how to explain what I'm saying.
I wonder if it's that we are Gen X parents. I think you're Gen X. Are you Gen X?
I am.
All right. Good job. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have experience being a kid with these screens. We're kind of the first round of parents that are really in it, and we don't have any models. And so it's just kind of been like a small flame that has caught like wildfire. And now we're like, oh God, what are we doing?
What do we do? We don't have, there is no model.
There is no model.
We are the model.
We are the model.
And we fucked it up.
Yeah, we did. To our credit, like we fucked it up because of the developers who knew exactly what they were doing. I mean, watch any documentary about, you know, social media and screens they're apologetic.
Yeah.
You know, like,
right.
Sorry that we hired child psychologists to design these things to
That's
keep
so fucked up.
Yeah. It's really fucked up. It's really messed up. Yeah.
But all of this, I'm getting great. Like I have so many ideas and plans, and we'll see how and many I actually implement. We'll see, you know, when push comes to shove and life is lifing.
I'll come back and I'll be like with my checklist. How did you do?
Yeah.
Let me judge you.
One other thing that I do, and then I want to wrap this up because I know you have a life to get to.
Oh my gosh, I could talk to you for like 3 hours.
I know, I could do this for our. We monitor. We have an app called Bark that monitors.
Great.
Yeah, we monitor everything she does and we have it at the highest, strictest settings. So like it alerts us when people say like I'm dead, like joking, medical, you know, like we get all kinds of alerts. It's ridiculous.
Right.
But we do that. And I'm finding that other parents don't, which I'm all shocked at. And so I was thinking maybe I shouldn't be, because it's like I'm reading her. We read everything.
Well, she knows that it's monitored, right?
Yeah.
She knows when you look at it. I mean, I think that there will definitely be a time, probably sooner than you want, where you're going to have to loosen, you're going to have to dial that down a little bit more because I think that adolescents, middle-aged adolescents do deserve some privacy. I don't think 11-year-olds do. So if you want someone to say you're doing great,
cheers.
You're doing great. Yeah.
Okay, good. Cheers.
Yeah, because it's a safety thing. And I don't think it's okay for you to be like, oh, I'm going to read all your conversations with your friends. But, and this is what I said to my daughter, like when you become a bad after school special, I'm heading in to the phone to see what the hell's going on. And then I had to readjust and say, I mean like a Netflix limited series, right? Because she was like, after school special.
What's after school special?
Yeah. But
the boy,
you know,
in
like,
the bubble. Come on.
I think that it's a slippery slope as far as people reading their kids' texts. But also it can save a life. I mean, it's hard. I don't have a hard rule for that. Same with tracking, like tracking our kids. But you've got an 11-year-old on the subway, so please track her.
We track the crap out of her. Like, yeah. As soon as she leaves the house, both me and Anne are like, okay, she's on 28th Street. Okay.
But I have clients with college kids and they're looking at their college kids' locations. And I'm like, I don't know. When Ian went to school, I was like, okay, what do I got to do to make sure that you respond to me as quick as possible? And he was like, well, you need to Snapchat me. And I was like, okay.
Oh my God.
And so he's the only person that I Snapchat with. And sure enough, he responds really quick. And to start, I could see his location. And I was like, ooh, where's he now? And I realized for me, it's too distracting. I'm not worried. I know he's going to class. I know he's living his life. I know he's doing his things. I know he's getting into an appropriate amount of mischief. You know, I don't need to another thing to
that
keep me.
That extra layer. Yeah. So this is why I like that we have Bark, the monitoring app, because I don't have to go in and read the conversations. Right. I get the alert. I look and see, and it's usually, they only include just like, you know, like three texts, like from a part of a conversation.
Okay.
They only include like the text that is alarming, quote unquote, mm-hmm. and then the one above it and the one below it.
Okay.
Right. So I go in, I check it, and it's usually benign. Mm-hmm. And then I let it be. I don't go in and read like all of the conversations.
Yeah. Well, I think Bark is a great service. And I know that they have Bark phones.
Right. And that's what our original plan was. But she was like, iPhone.
Yeah. No, so I want the $1,000 phone. Come on.
Yeah.
And then we say, yes. Why are we saying yes? $1,000 phone that they're just like swinging around.
Well, because the phone companies give you a deal. We got a deal.
It's an illusion of a deal. It's the illusion of a deal.
it's the two for one. And we were like, well, let's just do it. And then there were these other parents who had gotten the Bark phone because we had said we were going to do it. And then they were like, wait, we got the Bark. And we were like, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many basic phones that look just like an iPhone, look just like a smartphone, but I just think it's so much harder to figure out how to dial back a fully loaded phone than to build from a basic phone. But dug that hole. So.
We're already in it and they don't have internet, but we were talking about possibly giving her the internet on her phone because everybody else has it and she can't look things up. She literally can't look things up, which is kind of problematic a little bit.
You should be like, here, this is called the Encyclopedia Britannica.
I did. I bought the newest edition and I was like, here you go. I did.
Here's the
She's
internet.
Like, Mom, you're so mean. And it's also, but they're outdated. Encyclopedias are outdated.
Oh, totally.
They don't like.
Yeah. They're Encyclopedia Britannica on Google. We know that.
I don't know. She's going to have to get the internet eventually. She's still not going to get YouTube, though. Not doing it. YouTube is a cesspool of evil. I hate YouTube.
I mean, if it wasn't for YouTube, my daughter would not know how to put on makeup. That's for sure.
Pinterest is basically social media, which I didn't realize. So she was using Pinterest. And then I was like, are you scrolling right now? You scroll on Pinterest. It's like social media.
Yeah, I don't
know.
So
I had to dial that back.
I'm so sucked into Instagram and Facebook that I post to TikTok, but I don't get on TikTok because I'm scared. Because I know me. Like, I know what'll happen if I get on there. And it's interesting because TikTok is not a social media. It is, they're not communicating through TikTok. They're just getting sucked in and time-wasting through TikTok.
That's the lightest story of my life. We're struggling with it too. And so I think that's another takeaway is we got to look at ourselves.
Yeah, 100%. In regards
to this.
Yeah, that's the number one takeaway. Like, look at yourself and then have those conversations, normalize that we're talking about, just like we talk about how we're feeling in our body and like physical health and how we eat.
And how your family was made and how you have a donor. Like,
exactly.
It's same, like,
we're going to normalize that this is a thing. Yeah. And we got to talk about it. And this is a privilege because people are like, wow, kids are so entitled. Yeah, when you're given privilege without any responsibility, that leads to entitlement. It's not a kid problem. It's an offering of privilege without holding any kind of responsibility with it.
Yeah,
that is ending up with, that's not their fault.
And then getting on the same page with other parents. It's key.
Yeah.
It's key because you can't do it. You can't do it if they're not doing it too. Like the kids go crazy, insane. I need these other parents to be on the same page as me.
Yeah, you do. And you don't need them to be on the same page as you to, you know, handle this in your own family.
I know.
It just makes it, it's just the only way that this is going to change is if a generation of parents interrupts what has come before.
Oh God. So many things to think about, Casey. This has been amazing and beautiful. And I have to go get that book. And all the links are going to be in the show notes and all the things. Oh my God. I feel like I have a lot of work to do and I do a lot already. And that's where we are. That's the state of this shiznit.
Yeah.
Okay. Casey, tell everybody all the places they can find you. And if they want to continue learning about technology, because you're doing all the good work. So tell everybody where they
can. Well, first caveat is I am not a tech expert, right?
So no, but there's definitely
amazing people out there. And just being in relationship with our teens in the context of technology, I think is where I can support. So I have a website, besproutable.com. When you add a /teens, you get to my little section. On there, I have a membership program where I work with parents of teenagers, and it's a whole community and beautiful. And those are my VIPs. I love those parents. I work one-on-one with parents. You can find out more on the website. The podcast is there, but the podcast is also wherever you're listening to this show. You can find Joyful Courage. Just search for Joyful Courage podcast. I'm on Instagram at joyful_courage, trying not to watch a million videos. We've got a Facebook group, a free group on Facebook that's called Joyful Courage for Parents of Teens. And it's a pretty decent sized group, but it hasn't crossed over into like people being assholes to each other. So it's a really sweet community where parents are showing up, and I show up there every once in a while. I mean, the TikTok. Again, I just like
the TikTok. Everybody just go follow Casey. Just go on TikTok.
Follow me so it's not so sad when I see I only have 80 followers. It's like, what happened to going viral? Like, I need that. I need to be making more money because of the cancer. So come on, people.
Right.
Join
I feel
me.
You. I feel you there. Everybody, help this lady out.
Yeah.
We need to fund the cancer meds.
And if you want to reach out directly to me, you can. My email is casey@joyfulcourage.com. But I do. I love parents of teenagers, mostly because I really want to take a stand for the teenagers because they're struggling and they need the adults to show up, you know, better for them. And so that's really what my passion for this work is.
I love it. Everybody do all the things, do all the follows, and reach out if you want more from Casey. And I could talk to you for hours. This is so good. So much to talk about.
So much.
Okay. Well, thank you, Casey.
You're welcome.
Hang in there. Hang in there with all the life that's lifing.
You and, too, girl. You too. Yeah. Seeing you inside of all of it as well.
God, and I'm gonna do some of the things I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it tonight. We're gonna look at our screens at dinner, even though that's a no screen zone. We're gonna normalize being competitive about who has the least amount of
screen
time.
Well, and I will also plug one of my favorite positive discipline tools is family meetings, and maybe we can have another conversation about how to implement that, because
that becomes
a really special space for having conversations, you know, about screens and other things, you know, as a family. So
I love that. Yeah, that's the next one. Okay. We're going to have a lot of ally episodes, I'm feeling.
I'm honored to be a chosen ally today. Thank you. Thank you, everyone who is listening, and really appreciate
it. We love you. Yeah, we love you here, Casey. You're welcome back anytime. Okay.
Awesome.
You're the best. You're the bomb, as the kids don't say anymore.
We say it.
Queer Family Podcast.
A special thank you once again to California Cryobank for being a sponsor of this episode. Use code QUEERFAM25 for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. And tune in next week for another amazing episode of Queer Family Goodness.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
Are you the one keeping everything together in your family, but maybe you're secretly or not so secretly falling apart?
Dude, you are not alone. We have been there too.
I'm Joanne.
And I'm Bree, and we're the hosts of the No Guilt Mom podcast.
If your to-do list never ends, your kids depend on you for everything, and you're constantly putting your own needs last.
Or if you're the go-to parent, but you're starting to feel burnt out and resentful, we're here to help.
Each week, we give you practical strategies from parenting and psychology experts and from our own real mom experience to help you take back time, energy, and joy.
So you can stop feeling like you're the family martyr and start leading as a confident, guilt-free role model.
Subscribe to the No Guilt Mom podcast and let's help you ditch the overwhelm and actually enjoy your family again.
Listen now wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Are you moving through adolescence with your kiddo, navigating the fear and worry that comes with this season of parenting? The Joyful Courage podcast for parents of teens is what you've been searching for. Real conversations about real challenges. Lying, screens, school, risky behavior, I cover it all. My name is Casey O'Rourke. I'm a positive discipline lead trainer and parent coach. I put shows out each week that reframe the messy terrain of the teen years and leave listeners feeling seen and hopeful. Check out Joyful Courage wherever you listen to podcasts.